Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Caracou, Peter Martin, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, wherever you are. I am Stanford Simon. Great joy to be with you once again. Welcome to Inside Finance, without a shadow of a doubt. It's a great opportunity to be to talk to you about what's happening throughout the length and breadth of our country and talking to someone from inside the Ministry of Finance. And today I have with me in the studio Mr. Mike Sylvester, the Deputy Permanent Secretary within the Ministry of Finance. You'll be talking to us about some announcement the government made and some changes and looking at our debtors and other things here. And I do hope as we share today, you will be encouraged to learn and have a better understanding of what the government is doing throughout this beautiful trial and state. Take a word from our sponsors. We come right back.
There is only one place in Grenada where good food costs less, Andel's Supermarkets. We are available to serve you when no one else is available. Our locations are Parade on the St. Paul's Main Road with our wholesale department downstairs the supermarket. We are close to the fire station on the Carenage. We are also on Melville Street, right next to the bus terminal. Convenient and spacious with parking available. Our St. George's locations are conveniently opened from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily, and the box shop on Jubilee Street, Grenville, right next to Scotiabank, opens from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Saturday and 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. Andel's Supermarkets, where good food costs less.
St. George's Baptist Church. Purpose. The channel God chooses to fulfill the needs of humanity. Vision. Building communities which become the model for winning people to Christ. Mission. Goal. Empowering people to enjoy prosperity and fulfillment in life. These are the purpose, vision, and mission of the St. George's Baptist Church.
Welcome back. This is Inside Finance, and as I indicated earlier, with me in the studio is Mr. Mike Sylvester, Deputy Permanent Secretary within the Ministry of Finance. How are you, Mr. Sylvester?
I'm very good, thank you very much.
Well, you look good. You look young and sprightly. Government is treating you well?
I'm being treated well. I'm okay.
You've been treated well. Well, the smile on your face may not quite be, but but you look well anyway. Now, Mike, how is government going though? How are things within the ministry?
We are there. We are doing well. We are working hard. We are seeing results, and you know that is enough motivation and stimulation for us to continue to work hard in the interest of the country. Yeah.
Because there have been a lot of changes.
Yes. There are a lot of reforms that we are undertaking, and as I mentioned, we are seeing positive results. And in the interest of the country, and we continue to strive to even improve some of the things that we are doing.
Okay. Well, last week, the government announced a successful debit exchange with creditors. What more can you tell us about that involvement that government had and the reality of where we are now with it?
All right. Thank you, Pastor Simon. And let me say a good day to your listeners. And to say it's a pleasure to be here once again to share information of the work that we are doing at the Ministry of Finance. And as you rightly said, Grenada, the government of Grenada announced a successful debt exchange with its creditors. That was announced this week. As it was announced, the debt exchange was very successful. And by that I mean we had, in the case of the U.S. dollar bond, we have two bonds. One is an international, two international bonds, if you want to call it that. There is a U.S. portion and there is an EC portion. In the case of the U.S. portion, for instance, we had 94% of the total total amount of persons holding that that instrument would have submitted a request asking to exchange the old bonds that they have for basically new instrument that is now due in 2030. So the old bonds basically are due, they were due in 2025. The new bonds are now due in 2030. So that's 94%. In the case of the EC portion, and we're talking about $183 million thereabout, we had 100% participation. So 100% of the holders of those bonds would have submitted their bonds for exchange. Under the what is called the collective action clause, where you require only 75%. So in other words, if only 75% were to say that we want to exchange, this would bind the entire 100%. But what we have had basically from those, the exchange is at 94% on the US portion and 100% on the local portion. So in a sense, it was very successful, and we want to thank all the creditors who basically saw it in Grenada's interest to assist in this particular very difficult times. We are very happy for that, and it's a win for Grenada, and we should all be proud of this achievement.
Now, one may ask the question: how important is this debt restructuring for Grenada's future?
Yeah, before I go into that, let me probably just speak a little bit about the two bonds and how they sort of differ, right? In the old bond, which is the 2025 bond, right, we have what was called a step up coupon interest rate. So you had interest rate, for instance, starting at say 1% and rising to 9.5% down the road in the latter part of the bond. By now we would have been basically paying about 8% on that bond. So the 800% on the 193 million US and the 8% on the 181. In this particular case, in this new bond, you have what is called a fixed interest rate. So you're paying
right through the time, right?
And that is even better because it allows you to better plan. You don't have to think about finding additional resources in later years to be able to pay additional a higher amount. So in the case of a mortgage, for instance, let's suppose you have a mortgage of say $20, and you have an interest rate that moves from every year they calculate it moves from 1% to 5% to 7% to 8%. Now, basically, what you have under the new bond is an interest rate of, say, 5% that goes throughout the life of the bond. The other important difference is the fact that under the old bond, you're paying interest for, say, 15 years, and then towards the end of the bond, you have to make a bullet payment. So you have to make, it was 5 bullet payments that will liquidate the bond. What you have now is like a mortgage. Every month, every time you pay both principal and interest. So you basically pay on the reducing balance. And so that is a better instrument. In addition to that, in the old restructuring, we did not get a haircut. Now you're getting a haircut on the principal. You get 25% at the very start, and at the successful completion of the homegrown program, you get another 25% reduction.
So that really put the government in a better position to plan, as rightly said.
Right, it puts in a better position to plan. You have, of course, significant savings from that. You would see at the end of the debt restructuring, for instance, that our debt to GDP would move from over 100% of GDP to now below 100. You're talking about around 90% of GDP thereabout. So it's a significant boost to basically your fiscal and debt situation in trying to move from a position of unsustainability to a position of sustainability going forward.
Okay. Going back to the earlier question that I asked, how important is this debt restructuring for Grenada's future?
Right. It's important. It's very important. Very, very important. And I say this from the point of view is that you have what is called, in some cases, a debt overhang. You call it an economic disease. You have a debt overhang. So it's like a cloud over your head,
right,
hanging, and you're just basically raining all the time. So you're getting wet all the time. Because what it does is that it takes away resources from very important projects and so on.
Yeah.
Basically to pay in debt. So you're basically paying debts. You're just paying most of your resources going to pay in debts. You have to continue to borrow more to meet your other needs. And so what happens basically is that you basically
sink yourself more into debt.
Enter into a vicious cycle, and then you basically reach a point where you default and you can't pay. That of course has a significant effect on business confidence, on stability of the country, and a lot of other issues. So basically, what we are trying to do with this is to get away from that type of situation. Now, the debt restructuring alone cannot and will not solve all our problems. And that is why the other reforms that are undertaken in terms of the trying to strengthen your fiscal position, your revenues and so on, reduce your expenditure, that also is very important. In addition to that, the laws that have been passed, for instance, the fiscal responsibility laws, which is a sort of rule-based system that says you have to do X, Y, and Z as part of your fiscal situation, would allow you or prevent you from going back into that situation. Okay. Right? So it's a very, very important part of the whole picture. And as I said, the fact that it was successful is a very, very plus and a very important step for us in moving towards where we want to get, which is, of course, to a position of fiscal and debt sustainability.
So, Mike, explain this then. So when you look at the overall debt relief that we have, looking at since we started in trying to get us to bring our debt down, our deficit down, what does this mean for Grenada, seeing that all this work has been done?
Right. Well, in terms of the debt relief, and if you're talking about cash debt relief in a sense, you're getting around 400 million EC in terms of debt relief, and that is looking at this from the net present value
debt.
Right. So in a sense, just to explain, if I take the debt that I have now,
which is how much the government have now,
which is what
the total debt. What's our total?
Right, we're talking about 2.5 billion. Right,
2.5 billion.
Yeah, that is what with the debt structure, you basically come down to 2.3 billion. In terms of debt stock, because what you have, and that is important that I explain that, because you have a situation. What you have is that government, of course, has to continue to borrow to meet its obligations. Government will be paying down debt, right? So you have that net effect there, and then of course you have the effect of the debt restructuring or the halving of the principal. So basically you have to, it's a combination of factors. In effect, so what you will have, and then you have your economy growing. So when you look at it from GDP point of view, you're seeing, for instance, that we are gonna have a significant decline in our debt to GDP ratio, right? By virtue of the fact that our GDP is growing, our debt stock has come down. Mm-hmm. We have paid down some, although we have and we have also borrowed some. So all that combination of all of that will, in a sense, give you what the savings in terms of debt to GDP ratio. And as I made the point, for instance, you're going to move from over 100% of GDP to now around 90% of GDP at the end of that.
Which it should be. Is that the marker, or it should be lower?
No. That is what the debt restructuring would have achieved. And our objective is to get that down to 60%, 55% of GDP by 2020. By, of course, as I said, pursuing the mandates under the fiscal responsibility law. In particular, for instance, that we have to achieve a primary surplus of 3.5% of GDP every year going forward. Primary surplus, of course, the primary balance, of course, is your total debt, total revenues and grants, minus your total non-interest expenditure. That's a very important measure that we follow. So it's your total revenues and grant less your total non-interest expenditure. So you remove interest from the picture, and we are under the fiscal responsibility law, we have to generate a surplus of 3.5% of GDP every year on that. So that means that eventually you move from a deficit position on the overall to a surplus position. So the overall would be your total revenue and grants less your total expenditure, including interest. So total expenditure. And that's an important distinction there.
Okay. This week, I believe, the government has also reached an agreement with NIS. Did NIS also get a haircut? Because a number of persons are concerned about the pension and other things. So where are we with that?
Well, right. From the very start, the government... Well, NIS indicated that they did not want to have a haircut. The government had to, of course, look at that within the context of the debt restructuring. Now, it's a very important point we have to make, because you see, we are asking other people, including, for instance, persons who have invested pension funds from other countries, right, to take a haircut. That's what we're asking. Now, in the case of NIS, they have said that the people have said they do not want a haircut. So what would have had to happen, in a sense, was that we had to find an arrangement that would guarantee NIS the haircut, but at the same time, they would have had to have a longer maturity period. They would have had to have a lower interest rate, right? In a sense. So basically you get back all your monies, but you get a lower interest rate, and then you get payment over a longer period of time. Now, that does not include, of course, the contribution that the government has to pay on an annual basis, or on a monthly basis for that matter. The contribution is, of course, treated very, very differently from the restructuring, and we will talk about that a little later. But that on the bond side, where NIS as an investor decide to invest in the government bonds, like everybody else, like the Bank of Montserrat or the Bank of Ware or a commercial bank would have decided to make an investment. In their particular case, they have accepted a haircut. NIS, on the other hand, would have not accepted a haircut, but NIS is going to get a lower interest rate, and NIS, of course, would have a longer period before they get back the money. So that is what the understanding that is reached in that particular case. So they would not have gotten a haircut, just to be very clear on that particular issue.
Okay. All right, listeners, I'm speaking here with Mr. Mike Sylvester, Deputy Permanent Secretary within the Ministry of Finance. I am Stanford Simon. You're listening to the program Inside Finance. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back, continue my discussion here with Mike Sylvester. And I want to know, there has been allegation that government is not paying the NIS. So I want to ask him about that. At least I give him some time to think about a question so he can answer it when I come back. We'll be right back. To all our listeners and supporters of the SGBC radio programs, you can now download the SGBC app on your Android phone. Go to the Play Store and get involved. Listen to some great music, great preaching, sermonette, testimonies. Great thing is happening at the SGBC Grenada.com, and the app is available to you. Go download it from the Play Store to your Android phone. SGBC, it is available to you. An app that you can use wherever you are. Music will be available to you. Wherever you are now, you do not have to wonder, where is the radio? Download it on your Android phone and carry it with you wherever you go. The SGBC app is available to you in the Play Store. Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance. And with me in the studio is Mr. Mike Sylvester, Deputy Permanent Secretary within the Ministry of Finance. He a very responsible man, have a big responsibility, so I need to ask a big question. So, Mike, talk to us about this, though, and persons are concerned, genuinely so. There has been an allegation that government is not paying the NIS. Can you comment on the issue or give us some clarity on it?
Well, Pastor Simon, I have not heard the allegation, so I'm not sure when or by whom.
Well, but my ears are on the ground, so I'll tell you what. That's yeah. What I talk about inside all the offices. I'm talking about what poor people say in the government being NIS.
I haven't heard it, so I can't respond to that. But what I can tell you, though, is that government has made significant payments to NIS in the last couple of years. NIS can't even corroborate that issue themselves. Let us take, for example, in the last 3 years or so. At the start of 2013, the contribution, the arrears of contribution to NIS was in the region of $24.2 million, thereabout. Yeah? The monthly contribution to NIS is about $1.65 million per month. So you're talking about $19.8 million per year. Right, as at the end of October, that figure is basically $15.3 million. That what is owed to NIS in terms of contribution.
So you owe government about $15 million.
You owe NIS. Government owes NIS now about $15.3 million. That's the stock in contribution. Now, if you do the math, if I owe government in 2000 in at the start of 2013 $24.2 million, I accumulate 19 million every year for 3 years, right? So in 2013 you had to add 19.8 billion to that. 2014, you have to add 19.8 million to that. 2015, you have to add 16 point something million to that because the entire year is not finished.
Right.
That is about 80 point something million that you'd have accumulated if you had not paid anything.
Mm-hmm.
If my stock now is 15.2 million, it means I would have paid about $65 million into NIS in cash. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're actually saying, now, all that government owed the NIS is about $15
million. $15.3
million. 15.3, to be exact.
At the end
of October 2015.
At the end of October 2015.
It's not 2014.
2015.
You sure?
I am sure.
You checked the accountant general on that?
I'm in the ministry. I just want to be sure. I'm telling you, that's fact. No, right. there is one other issue, which I must raise as well. Is that in 2002, the government would have signed an agreement with NIS then to liquidate some arrears that were accumulated during the period June 2001 and July 2002, mm-hmm. right? It's about $10 million. That was during that period. There's an agreement that was signed in 2002, August of 2002 in particular, to basically make payments on a monthly basis over time to liquidate that amount, right? NIS is also claiming that as government owing them, right? That is not, as I mentioned, I already spoke to the current contributions. That is currently being discussed as well, right? And of course, government has not, just in the case of or medical claims and so on, government has not claim from NIS for many years for somebody's medical claim. So we are having a discussion as to how to treat it with that particular aspect as well as the issue of the medical claims. But on the current contribution, and I've just mentioned, just to repeat, if you're starting at from 24.2 million at the start of 2013, every year you accumulate about 19.8 million dollars, right? So that for 3 years you'd have accumulated that, so basically you'd have accumulated about, if you didn't pay anything, Your stock to NIS, owing to NIS, would be 80 point something million dollars. Right now, our stock to NIS is 15.3. It means that you'd have paid about $65 million during that period. And that's a fact. Cash. And NIS can corroborate that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the fact is, government do owe NIS, but they do not owe NIS like $100 million.
No.
Only $15
million. On the contributions. Right.
So that is fixed,
right? And this has been from ever since. All governments have owed,
right?
So from ever since. So
right.
Since another case where, for instance, you always been paying NIS as you should,
okay.
which is just on the other thing, just to mention that though, what we are doing, in fact, the discussion we're having now is that how we can liquidate all those all the outstanding arrears. So that's 15.3 million, plus what is decided on the 10, how we can liquidate in a very short space of time. So
okay.
That discussion is currently ongoing.
All right. So that sounds like we are on the right track. Now, as we look at what is happening now, 2016, what is the status of the preparation for budget 2016?
Right. We are well advanced. As you already know, the Minister of Finance has announced that he intends to present on the 25th of November. We have had met all the major activities under that. We've had the consultations, as you recall. We have presented the cabinet the budget framework, which outlined what the budget should look like within the context of the program and so on. We met with cabinet last Saturday, and cabinet would have gone through the budget and they would have made sure that it's in line with government policy. The next step basically is to take it to the finance committee, and the finance committee is a parliamentary committee made up of all the elected members of parliament. That meeting is scheduled for the 13th of November. So we are basically now doing the final touches to prepare to go to the print to get the documents ready to present it to Parliament so that they can have that discussion. Once it comes out from there, then basically it's just the finalization, go back to the print for final printing, and then of course the minister will present the speech. So we are on track. I would not say more because the budget will be presented in just about over 2 weeks. So
we ain't gonna go sneak peep into the budget.
I would not want to preempt the minister for that.
Teaser like the news. You give us other things, so you would be encouraged to listen to the budget.
I want to encourage everybody to come out and listen.
Give us something to talk about now.
I don't want to preempt the minister. Pastor would speak. It's not long from now. It's not a long wait. So
he talking boy. That man much. So pretty much that the budget is pretty much on its way. And right. This month, what, the 25th?
Yes, 25th.
That is
Wednesday, the 25th. So it's not very long from now, as I said. And then we are well advanced in preparation. We are on track. We don't expect any hiccup. So I want to encourage everyone to, of course, come out and listen, because if you can come out, of course, you know, tune in, because it's a very important part of our country. The budget is, in fact, it's a very important part of your economic, but basically get a sense of the economic picture that we have.
Mm-hmm. Question though, what does 2016 look like for jobs? I mean, you're in the Ministry of Finance. How are things looking? I mean, I know you're not a politician. You are.
Don't ask me. But
but I mean, how are things looking? Mike, you would have been looking at the figures, so just give us an idea.
No, well, I would. No, but I mean, what I can say, we're doing a labor force survey now. We should have preliminary results in time for the budget, which would say what the rate is like for this year. Mm-hmm. So we know, for instance, that the body rate were like in the past years. So this will tell us whether or not it's going down further, or it has gone down further, or whatever has happened. And of course, as I said, don't let me drive me down the road.
I'm trying to get a little thing from him, but Mike is talking, boy.
The budget speech is just now, you hear everything.
I know, but I want a little thing to talk about. I mean, you know, my hair's on the ground, and I want to be able to, in talking books, but it's really good to talk with him. But really, is there anything else you want to share with us? As I've said, as we conclude and look at the prospect mm-hmm. of life itself, the reality of you looking at government, where we are, NIS, is there anything that you want to add to the discussion we've had?
Well, I just want to say that we're happy to continue to highlight the work of the ministry and in a sense to explain a lot of things. I think it's part of our civic duty as well, because you can have a lot of misinformation and so on, and if people don't understand certain things, you can say things that might sound good and whatever the case. But I'm not saying that we have to continue to do that. I mean, sometimes you go to the consultations, for instance, and the kind of questions that persons ask, you realize it's because they it could be lack of understanding. You know, so we have to continue to explain, and this is what this program is about, to continue to share the work of the Ministry of Finance, to explain what we do in a more as simple as possible, in a simple way as possible, so that persons could then have informed discussions and make informed decisions around some of those things. Just to add that the debt restructuring in particular is a very important achievement for us as a country. And we should be happy about it. Every one of us should be happy about it. It's just imagine you you owe somebody and they decide to give you a break, whether it's a dollar off, it's a plus. So if you get half, if you get a 50% reduction on your haircut, on your principal, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. So I'm just saying that I think we should all be happy about that. And we continue to, as I said, to explain what exactly it is and how we think that will benefit Grenada going forward.
I've been speaking there to the Deputy Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance, Mr. Mike Sylvester, talking to us about what is happening with our debt restructuring, debt relief, really, what we got, what is happening within NIS, and if government or NIS are told, and we said 15.3 million to be exact, and the budget would be ready to 25th. Of this month, the Prime Minister will be prepared. I tried to squeeze something out of him, but the man he's talking about, he locked down tight. The Prime Minister had him in, you know, working for him and getting it ready. So they're now talking, they're waiting for the PM to tell us all about the budget. I am Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for joining me here today. And as we have shared together, here the information from within the Ministry of Finance. Go to our website, sgbcgrenada.com. This program will be uploaded there, where you can listen and you can tag it and share it with folks on Facebook so they can hear what government is doing within the Ministry of Finance. Have a great week. Join us next week at the same time. We'll do this all over again. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.